Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Yeah. Okay, just shake the cobwebs out. Ready? Reggie in the booth, thumbs up. Levels look good today. Voice is strong. Yeah, I'm feeling up. I'm feeling good. Feeling funky, feeling good. Let's do this. 156 in the books. Looking forward to it. Fun little topic here today. So let's do it. I'm ready. You're ready. All we got to do is hit the buttons. Ready? Oh, that's right. Three S's. Star. Smile. Strong. Now we're ready. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode of this podcast is posted for your podcasting pleasure. I have officially deemed this podcast binge-worthy, and it's an official designation. It's just like Good Housekeeping, a seal of approval, the Jim Toronto binge-worthy seal of approval, which means that you can go back on WGNplus.com and go to the entertainment section and to the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic prompt and find all previous 155 episodes, which means that this is episode 156. Wow. And I have to look at the official date, but we are nearing the 3-year anniversary of this podcast. I have to look back at my very detailed notes, surprise, surprise, that I would have the exact date. I have all the... I always talk about how I'm trying to declutter, and yet I've saved all of my show rundowns from these podcasts as well. So I have to go back in my little file. But I know I recorded in mid-May of 2016. Oh, God. 2016. I have to see the exact date that it was posted on the website, because that's the official day. And I may have recorded it about a week or so before it was actually posted for the first time. But certainly it was mid to late May. And what I can do, you say, Jim, well, how are you going to find that out? Well, as I said, I have my file of my podcast preparation materials. But, and this is what I talked about last summer, I do have my daily planner from 2016 tucked away in a file cabinet. So I will go to my daily planner of 2016 and see when I officially recorded my first podcast, and I believe it was the next Monday that it was posted. And I may have even have put that, you know, podcast starts. So I will have that official date for you, for all you historians. I mean, all of this, once again, will be going into the Elton Jim Toronto Museum one day. So I do have to have all this stuff documented. And as I said, I've got all my bins, even though I have thrown out a lot of stuff. I have kept some of the cooler things that can be displayed at the museum. The only problem, obstacle I see at this point is to find a space and find any interest. Aside from that, the Elton Jim Toronto Museum can be put together fairly quickly. It's just these two small little obstacles is to find a space, a public space, and find anybody who's interested in actually presenting it. Aside from that, it's ready to go, believe me. So, last week's podcast, number 155, was a little deep. Yeah, it was a little personal, but I said many times, that's what I enjoy doing. I enjoy sharing with you. This is, in my view, a dialogue. Hopefully, I'm talking more to more than one person on a regular basis. I have really no way of knowing. So it's just out there in the ether, and hopefully folks are picking it up and listening on a regular basis. I certainly try to make it as if I'm talking to you right now. Yes, you. Right there, you. I'm pointing at you. But I can also say that I am also creating this podcast for the capitalized you, the bigger you. So there's both the small case you and the uppercase U. Notice how I brought grammar back into that, and that's also a reference to last week's episode, number 155, about grammar and the use of the hyphen, but enough of that rant. What I wanted to talk about today is something, what I always pride myself on is being able to observe the first seedlings of a possible trend, and I don't know if expose, but certainly bring a spotlight or bring some recognition to the idea of this possibly bubbling trend to you, so that you can also be on the cutting edge. And as I've said, I enjoy being on the cutting edge of a trend. As soon as it becomes a trend or a fad, I run away from it. Some people call me a contrarian. Not really a contrarian. I just think when something gets so popular, then it can't be cool anymore. Right? Maybe I'm a snob, but I think that if something gets really popular and really big, it can't be cool anymore. Or at least not as cool as it could have been. Now, maybe there are a few options or things that don't fall into that category. I'm searching for the word, but I don't have it now. But you know what I mean. Maybe a few things don't fall right into that bucket as neatly as possible. But I'm somebody that, as I said, I enjoy being ahead of the crowd, and then once the crowd sort of catches up with me, I move away from them and go to the next one. And so if you remember probably a year ago, if not more, I mentioned the idea of these electric scooters. I'd been to Los Angeles a couple of years ago, and these electric electric scooters were everywhere. And I was bemoaning the fact that I almost got hit by people on them and how they were just everywhere, and they were thrown everywhere. We were at Santa Monica Beach, and so that was a perfect place for people to be riding these ad nauseum. And there it was almost like an obstacle course. And I was mentioning how I would not be surprised if they were going to start to take hold in cities across the country. And certainly I'm based here in Chicago area, and I figured a major market like Chicago would be a natural progression. And sure enough, after I'd seen that, like 3 or 4 months later, the first stories of these scooters started to pop up, and now there is a pilot program being readied to start here in the Chicago area, I believe sometime in this summer. So once again, you listen to this podcast and you get some information and some observations way ahead of the crowd. And then you get to go, oh, I remember Jim talking about that. That's why I planted a seed a few weeks ago about my picks for president. And a few people, I got some responses on my Facebook page, which is great, and I appreciate that. Any kind of response from you, the podcast listener, is certainly appreciated. And some people were aghast that I would predict that I believe Donald Trump would win, even though I, at the beginning of the podcast, presented the caveat that I am not necessarily a, I'm not hoping this will happen. I'm not hoping that Donald Trump will win. But I'm just saying is that I'm reading the tea leaves here. I'm looking at history. I'm looking at what's going on the Democratic Party side, and I don't see anybody that is going to seriously challenge him when all is said and done. As much as people may hate him, and that's what you see on the media, when it comes down to it, I believe that the Democrats are going to blow this because they are not focused. It is a very splintered party right now. As much as they try to put on an act that they are not, I think they are. But anyway, so that's why in April of 2019, I came out already and predicted the presidential winner. Long before the debates, long before even all the candidates are in it, I have predicted that Donald Trump will win. And I think by a fairly healthy margin. But that's my point. I get off on that. I dig doing that. I like to make observations. I'm always on the lookout. I started my career as a reporter, so I guess that's my job. That's what I've been trained to do, to sort of look for trends early and expose them and bring attention to them so people will be aware of them, and then suddenly they do become mainstream. But as I said, once they become mainstream, I'm off to the next one. And so here we go again. Mark it down, episode 156. I am amazed and intrigued and a little amused at how quickly this country, the United States of America, is going to pot. And I mean that literally or figuratively, I guess. The buzzword now in this country is marijuana. You know, over the last several years, we have seen marijuana slowly creep into the mainstream. The first state, I believe, to legalize it for recreational use was Colorado, and the entire country was looking to see just how this was going to work from a distribution standpoint, from a popularity standpoint, from a use standpoint. And at the end of the day, the most important, at least for government to legalize it, was the revenue standpoint. Now, as many know, we have had legalized marijuana in many states for many years for medicinal purposes. As you would expect, I believe that was a sham in many states where it was doing. I think that was it was a convenient way for people to begin to smoke marijuana legally. Doctors and dispensaries were giving out prescriptions for marijuana for diseases or ailments or treatments that I don't know how strict the guidelines were or how much in pain, per se, the patients were. So I think that was kind of a sham. But it was the beginning. It was the toe in the water. After 50 or 60 years of, if not more, maybe 80 years. I believe I read somewhere that marijuana was officially made illegal in the 30s by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I believe 1937. And then, of course, the use of marijuana initially was way over exaggerated in terms of the menace that it would inflict on this country and on its users. People that smoked marijuana were characterized as hopheads. They were characterized as, out of control. There's a great movie, I believe, from the 50s called Reefer Madness, that, you know, people just take one puff of a marijuana cigarette and they're off the rails, they're off their rocker, they're acting crazy. Now, the funny thing about that is that anybody knows that the whole idea of marijuana is not a frantic buzz, but it's actually a chill buzz. It's a laid back buzz. That's why you smoke marijuana. Hey, man. Hey, dude. It's not. That was cocaine. And don't forget, cocaine was legal here for a while, too, before some of the government got involved in some of the behaviors that people were exhibiting. And so it was LSD and things like that. I mean, many of our illegal drugs today were at one point legal until society or the government, whichever you want to call it, deemed the behavior that these drugs created not acceptable for the times. But the high times are here, my friends. And there has been a drug culture and certainly a marijuana culture in this country for more than 50 years. And, you know, and it's been, as time has gone on, obviously it was in the 60s during the psychedelic drug era of the early to mid 60s. Certainly the Summer of Love in 1967. But, I mean, that's over 50 years now. And probably even before that. I mean, there were pockets of people in the 50s, the beatniks of the 50s. And even the, you know, musicians, you hear about the musicians of the 30s and 40s, you know, taking heroin and marijuana. I mean, you know, let's face it, our country from its earliest times has self-medicated itself, whether it's through alcohol or other types of drugs. And obviously, one of the main arguments for the legalization, at the very least, of marijuana, which of all the illegal drugs, marijuana was always viewed as the one least dangerous, least lethal. I mean, let's face it, there are some drugs that you can overdose on. And I'm certain that you can overdose on marijuana, but marijuana's use, once again, was not to overdose necessarily or to go to some different plane. It was to get a little buzz and a little chill, if you will, once again, to use a hipster phrase of this day. But yeah, I mean, there's no question. Heroin, cocaine, LSD, those when abused, and anything abused, alcohol when abused can kill you, right? I mean, let's face it. And for many years there was a lot of hypocrisy. And the younger drug culture, their argument, which I think held water, was, well, wait a minute. You know, why are drugs illegal but alcohol is not? Alcohol is listed as a drug. It alters your state of mind. We certainly have seen people die of alcohol. Some people have died of alcohol in one night. They've drank so much that they die. There's alcohol poisoning. And we've certainly seen the long-term effects of alcohol on people's health, that they ultimately become an alcoholic and they have liver problems and things like that. So there's no question that alcohol, which was legal, and embraced by the culture, the argument was, hey, it's just as dangerous, just as mind altering. We've seen the carnage of drunk driving. So I think just from once again being an observer, not really having any horse in this race, I thought the at least the marijuana argument was valid. But you had for many years It's a generational thing. It's a generational and a morality thing that changes with time. Some things like that do change. And to get to back to my point, what I am so amazed at is it you know, the drug and the marijuana culture, as I said, has been bubbling and living underground and living right under the surface of our mainstream society for a half a century, if not more. And it just goes, and the proof of that is that in the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years or so, when the idea of legalizing marijuana came up, and now it's a question of, as more states, I believe there's 10 states right now where recreational use is legal, and more states every year, every election, are jumping on the bandwagon because they're seeing that not only is there a call for it as far as the population is concerned, but yes, there is a revenue monetary advantage of taxing it and selling it and regulating it, which in my view is really the most important part of it. Yeah, I mean, the tax revenues are fine. Governments these days are always looking for new revenue streams. But what I think is the most important thing is if to regulate it. Clearly, people have been and are using it. And that's my point, is that as soon as it was somewhat legalized, it's not federally legal in every state, but as soon as a few states, I mean, my gosh, you saw the culture just immediately embrace it. And a flood of knowledge and uses just came out of nowhere. But they've been there, but they haven't been in the mainstream. But now that marijuana, it's on the fast track of being, legalized for recreational use across the United States. I mean, it's just been. It's been a floodgate. The floodgates are open. Clearly, this has been going on with people flagrantly breaking the law. You heard about the magazine High Times. Well, that's been around for decades, and that's about marijuana use. The whole idea of 420, is Marijuana Day, because that was some kind of, believe the. The urban legend is that on some campus, I believe in California, either a 420 is a police designation for people on drugs or something, or it was on 420 that everybody at a certain high school or college campus met by a statue to smoke marijuana. I don't know the whole thing. I'm not really into that. But my point is there is a whole drug culture. And there's been head shops, with bongs and roach clips. I don't even know do they use roach clips anymore. Do people even know what those are? I remember in the 70s as a little kid going to this record store, and it had to have been either they had to have been selling marijuana out of that store, or at the very least, the people that worked there were constantly smoking it. Because when you walked into this store, and it was perfect if they were doing this, because it was a store that was on a main drag in the Six Corners area here in Chicago, off of Irving Park and Cicero and Milwaukee, but it was downstairs, so the store was kind of hidden. You had to know it was there. It was you had to walk down these stairs. It was a weird little place. And half the time I'd walk in there and there would be nobody at the cash register. There'd be nobody even there. They were all in the back. I don't know. And even back then, I didn't know for sure what was going on. But even in my naive little 10 or 11 or 12-year-old brain, I was like, something's going on, because that store smelled like no other store I'd ever smelled before. And whether they were burning incense, it was the mid-70s, man. You know what I'm talking about? But my point is, there has been a drug culture for everywhere, and it just seems like it has been bubbling, and it's been surviving for years. And really, what it turns out to be is it's been a waiting game. That's exactly what it has been. It has been a waiting game. And what we have seen is that now the greatest generation, if you will, the World War II generation that was very anti-drug, very anti-marijuana and anything like that, but yet was very pro-alcohol and pro-cigarettes, another killer, right? That generation is almost gone. And so now the baby boomers who've been waiting around for 50 years, I don't think they expected it to take this long. But voting blocks in this country, hang around for a while. And so the baby boomers now are in their, officially they're in their mid-50s. I don't believe that I'm a baby boomer at all. I mean, baby boomers were the babies that were born after World War II. I was born 20-some years after World War II. I don't consider myself a baby boomer. But I am thrown in there by a year or so into the designation. But regardless, the most average of the baby boomers at this point are in their late 60s or early 70s. I would say if you were born any time between 1945 and 1950, that makes you a baby boomer. They do this 25-year generation thing just so they have nice little demographics. But it's a misnomer. I have very little in common with somebody at this point who's 75 years old, but I'm lumped in that group, and I don't really think that I belong there. I'm sort of on the fringe. But anyway, my point is, I don't think the baby boomers thought it would take this long. But regardless, it's here. Pot is here. Weed is here. Marijuana is here. And it ain't going away. And if you think it's around now, wait in 5 years. It's going to be unbelievable. Everywhere you look now, if you watch, and this is what I've been observing. Just, it's very subtle at this point. But watch your commercials. Are you seeing more commercials for natural hemp products? Whether they are lotions, they're used for medicinal purposes like, pain, chronic pain and arthritis, different lotions using hemp. Well, what do you think hemp is, my friends? The new buzzword everywhere is CBD. CBD. If you haven't heard of CBD, I guarantee you in the next month or two or three, or maybe in the next day, you will hear about CBD. Once again, CBD is marijuana-related products. It's not the exact marijuana hallucinogen, but it is a marijuana-related product. If you see something with CBD and you're using it, whether it's supplemental vitamins or as I said, lotions or whatever, that's marijuana based. It's amazing how suddenly, once a crack in the dam opened, the floodgates for a marijuana based society are just flowing out into the mainstream, and it will continue to happen. And I'm surprised how not only the quickness, but the immediate acceptance of it. And as I said, it really comes down to generationally, because now our elderly society, our senior citizens, are all baby boomers. Yes, there are some people in their 80s and early 90s that are still from the other generation, but a majority, because the baby boomers are still a huge, huge demographic in this country, most of those people were either, exposed to marijuana were regular marijuana smokers or experimented with it, or at the very least, even if they didn't, they may have experimented with it and never tried it or never really used it, but they were certainly exposed to it. They certainly knew people that smoked it, and in their minds, it was no big deal. It was no different than cigarettes and alcohol. And so the idea of legalizing it is not the end of the world, of which it was characterized for many decades. And we see now that it really started several years ago, even before the initial legalization. You saw how the laws themselves and the penalties for marijuana possession, which usually, and for, you know, 20, 30 years ago, the penalties were very harsh. I mean, people would have a joint or something and they would get 20 years in jail. And you saw about maybe 5 or 6, 7 years ago that the amount of marijuana that you had was suddenly being downgraded from a felony to a misdemeanor. And that's the way it's gradually gone. It first started with the penalties of having marijuana. Those were the first trial balloons. And no one seemed to scream, "This is wrong. What are you doing? Put all those hopheads in jail." Nobody was screaming that again or anymore. That was the chant for, that was the chant for many years. But all of a sudden, you stopped hearing this. You could see a cultural shift going on as one generation was departing and another generation was okay with it. And so that's where we're at now. I would assume, I haven't seen any statistics, but I would think that at this point, you know, if you ask the average American, I would say it's got to be 70-30 or even 80-20 in people that at least, at the very least, you know, approve of it being legalized. And certainly there are some regulations. That's my biggest thing. I'll be honest, and I always have been here. Like everyone else, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's an overgeneralization, but certainly I've experimented with marijuana when I was younger. When I think back, probably younger than I would have expected to be, I was exposed to it. Like many people, when you first try marijuana, I did not get the buzz that everybody was getting. And so it didn't become a habit for me. I didn't become obsessed with it. I didn't become a regular user. I tried it and but I in a relatively short period of time just stopped using it because I wasn't really getting this kick that other people were saying they were getting. So I don't know if it was something in my metabolism or something, but it wasn't really, you know. And if you know me, and if even if you listen to this podcast for any kind of time or listen to me on the radio, you know that when I get into something, I go, you know, head first, all in. You know, I mean, that's why I've seen Elton John 192 times. When I'm into something, I'm into it. So if marijuana had been something very appealing to me and something that had been, you know, something that I was like, wow, this is really cool. Yeah, I'm sure that I would have, you know, I would have stayed with it in some degree. I don't think I would have become, you know, hey, man. I mean, that's not my personality either, but. But I said I used it, you know, experimented as a teenager, and I didn't really continue it, and I haven't. In my mind, once again, I don't look down on anybody who uses it. That's fine, it's just not my thing. But what I do believe is important, and which I'm glad about the legalization of it, is the regulation of it, because I'll tell you part of the reason that I think, aside from, you know, the mind altering kind of effect, you know, I'm an odd duck. No kidding, right? you know, I enjoy experimenting and being adventurous and trying new things. And then there's another side of me that is very practical and very based in reality. And I've talked about that. And so a part of me was like, well, this is kind of interesting. Let me try this out. And then the other side of me was that other dark side, that counter culture, that illegality. Obviously, you always had to worry about that, but not even the legality. It was, where was this marijuana coming from? You know, who was giving it to you? Who was selling it? Who was processing it? You didn't know. I've talked about a couple years ago about how, you know, with these electric cars, that, you know, we can't practice on the public. The whole idea of the Food and Drug Administration and other testing like that, you know, the crash dummies and stuff, is that you don't practice on the public and then you tinker. Look at what's going on with Boeing. You don't install this thing and say, well, let's see how it works, when you've got humans and lives at you know, in possible danger, if that's what happened there. But my point is, so I was always a little resident. What's the word I'm thinking? I'm wrong word, but I was just a little apprehensive to use and to really get into it with marijuana, even just from a standpoint of, I didn't know where it was coming from. There's always kind of shady people, at least when I, you know, was exposed to it. So I think the regulation of it, so that it is safe for people, if you're going to use it, then it should be regulated. We should know that what we're getting is, there's not other drugs cut into it that might be, you know, harmful and things like that. It's so that it's regulated. Yes, as I said before, the revenue stream, that's great. But I think if people are going to use it, let's at least provide them, just like they do with alcohol. You know, every bottle of alcohol that you buy, you know, has a certain, you know, there's the warning signs, and there's all the different ingredients and the percentage of alcohol in the wine or in the whiskey or in the beer. So same thing for marijuana. I mean, I think it's only logical. People are going to use it. People are using it. So that was always something that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way too. I mean, it wasn't the main reason, but it certainly went into my decision. I didn't really want to be you know, associated with kind of a criminal element, and it was against the law, right? I mean, let's be honest. So there was a lot of factors that were involved in my not using it in any real way, and not having used it now for decades. As I said, I was a little kid. But clearly, now that marijuana is on the front burner here, I just think that it's good that it's going to be regulated. What I think is funny, as I said too, keep an eye open now. You're going to start hearing the word hemp. You're going to see hear the word weed. You don't hear dope anymore. It's not dope. You know, in the 70s, it was called dope. It's not called dope anymore, because, you know, that was the idea. It was called dope because if you were dope to use it, at least that was always my understanding. But now, that's not a good marketing tool. And it's going to be certainly presented while for recreational use, for, you know, to get a buzz. But I guarantee you, as I'm already seeing, you're going to see more of this quasi-medicinal thing. People who do use it, people that you don't, you're going to see people that are going to be smoking marijuana outwardly when it is legalized wherever you live or nationally. And you're going to be surprised at some of the people that you would have never thought. And they're going to say, oh, well, you know, I've got some, you know, they were using, I remember several years, marijuana for glaucoma and things like that, medical purposes, back, you know. Oh, yeah, well, it you know, it takes the edge off. I know cancer patients have used it. Well, yeah, it takes the edge off. That's what alcohol, that's what any kind of drug does. But I think you're going to be surprised as you look around to see people that you never in your wildest dreams would have thought that they were would have ever smoked marijuana, and you're going to see them not only smoking it, but smoking it a lot and knowing exactly what they're doing. I got news for you. Grandma and grandpa, you're going to be surprised. If they're in their late 60s or early 70s or even mid 50s, they're going to know about marijuana. You know, that before the other generation wouldn't have known, well, what is this, a marijuana cigarette? Now they'll know what a roach clip is. They'll know what a bong is. Believe me. Now, because it'll be okay to talk, to let that side of them out. That's what's going to be interesting. You know, last year I went a couple years ago, I went to Amsterdam. And, I mean, there it's, you know, marijuana has been legalized for years. Coffee shops and cafes are not places to get coffee or beverages. Cafes and coffee shops in Amsterdam are places to get marijuana. And there's a menu, and there are different strains, and there are different types, and what kind of reaction do you want? And it's a whole thing. There's a menu, literally a menu. You're handed a menu. And what I recognized most, not partaking in it, but what I noticed as just an observer, is the smell. That's the one thing that when this is legalized in this country, you are going to smell marijuana all over the place, especially in communal outside areas. I mean, you still won't be able to smoke, obviously, in public places like restaurants. If cigarette smoking has been banned, then obviously so will marijuana. But when you go outside, when you go to the beach, when you go to an outdoor mall, when you walk down, you know, a main drag anywhere, if you go to a park, you are going to smell marijuana. That's what I noticed throughout Amsterdam. And you're going to smell it on people. You're going to smell it on their coats. You're going to smell it on their clothes. I remember walking, and, you know, if you're in a restaurant, you're getting bumped and pushed, and you get right up to the next somebody's like, whoa, well, that person's just smoked, or they smoke marijuana. There's going to be a whole new smell in our culture, and it's going to be the smell of marijuana. And now, I mean, what's so funny is once it, as I said before about the floodgates, keep your ears open now. I mean, you're hearing people talk so freely about marijuana. So clearly, people have been using it, and I know that people in their 20s and 30s these days, millennials, have been smoking marijuana. You know, that on college campuses over the last 10 or 15, 20 years has really become more prevalent than ever. It was never viewed as illegal or something bad, and now it won't be. So as I said, that culture has been there anyway. The only difference now is there'll be a little less sneaking around. And I do wonder if some of the allure of smoking weed will go away for some people, because the illegalness, the illegality and the sneaking around will be taken out of. Maybe that was kind of the lure of it too, the dangerousness of it. Now, I mean, as I said, you're going to see people smoking marijuana cigarettes on a Sunday afternoon on Easter, you know, just, you know, smoking away. And now you're hearing about edible marijuana, and you're hearing about, you know, even I think liquid. I mean, it's just blossoming, no pun intended. In the next 2 to 3 or 4 years, we are going to be inundated, because, you know, the way our culture is here in the United States, if something is popular, then, I mean, what's going to be crazy is you're going to walk into Walmart and see bongs. There's going to be a bong section in Walmart. It's going to be the baby boomer's dream. This is the one thing. You know, when you look at the baby boomer generation of the 60s, the group that was coming of age in the mid-60s, who were leading the charge of the Summer of Love and the Beatles and all that, you know, in the mid-60s into the late 70s, you know, most of the things that they were into that were considered hippie and freaky and far out are now mainstream, right? Yoga, I mean, yoga was looked at back in the 60s and the 70s as, you know, this little underground, you know, Eastern philosophy and all that stuff. And you were a hippie and you were, you know, now everybody's carrying around a yoga mat. Everybody's got on yoga pants. Yoga is a part of our culture. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, if you were into yoga, you were a hippie. You know, obviously, you know, race relations, civil rights, that was certainly a hippie cause. And here we are. We've had an African-American president in Chicago now. We've got our second African-American mayor who is a woman and who is a lesbian. So politically, obviously, the whole idea of civil rights and equality, while we're certainly not there, that was a 60s ideal, and that is now pervading our society and will only get more popular with time. Clearly, the environment, ecology, that was viewed as hippy-dippy, you know, oh, yeah. And now we're talking about climate change. You know, the idea of recycling was some hippy-dippy thing. These are all mainsteads now of our culture. So it was only a matter of time before marijuana, at the very least, would be welcomed into the fold. Now, there is a certain danger, you know, and as just as there was or is with alcohol. You know, marijuana, the biggest knock against marijuana was that it was a gateway drug. Yes, maybe marijuana itself was not as harmful, but the idea was this gateway drug kind of idea was that, but at the same time, when people start taking marijuana, they will then go on to harder, more dangerous drugs. And it's the same way. You start out with a glass of wine or a can of beer, and then suddenly you try, you know, some whiskey, and suddenly you're into hard liquor. And then you become an alcoholic. That's kind of the pathway. So people were always hesitant about allowing marijuana, even though after the craziness of the reefer madness days, when we realized that marijuana was not that kind of an addictive drug that it was portrayed as. One of the great things, go back and watch some of the old Dragnet episodes of in the 1960s with Jack Webb and Harry Morgan. And, you know, once again, right in the mid-60s, it was right when the drug culture was really taking hold. And, you know, this was a Law and Order kind of show. It was a pro-police show. But there were even times when Joe Friday, who was Mr. Law and Order, Mr. Black and White, you know, right and wrong, even he realized, hey, you know what? Then talk to your legislators and make it a law if you don't want it to be illegal. But right now, it's illegal, and I'm a policeman, and so I've got to enforce the law. That's the way even Jack Webb on that show was viewing marijuana. But there always was this hesitancy, you know, 40, 50 years ago of legalizing marijuana because it felt that it would then be the gateway or the opening for people to try harder drugs. So they went all or nothing. As I said once again, and I've said many times, in our country, we do nothing in moderation, which is what's happening now. Now, once again, we were no drugs, and now marijuana is going to be legalized most likely in the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years nationally. And my gosh, as I said, there are so many products coming out. The jargon, the vernacular, you're going to hear things like head shop, as I said, CBD, hemp, you know, all those types of things. It's really an amazing. I had to laugh the other day. I was thinking about this topic, and then in the mail, talk about, you know, being on the edge of this. I get my new edition of Rolling Stone, and who's on the cover? Willie Nelson, probably the most famous stoner there is, and the subhead on the cover says, marijuana saved my life. And the whole episode, or I mean the whole issue, has a major section in it all about the growing, no pun intended, popularity of marijuana from a legal standpoint, from a government standpoint, from a use standpoint. And I was like, wow, I knew that I was onto something here. I mean, you've got major companies that are investing now into marijuana dispensaries and companies. Celebrities are. I heard an interview recently with Seth Rogen, who has been, you know, who has been very out front about his use of marijuana, legal, you know, recreationally, you know, in his life. And of course, it makes sense that he is going to opening, or has started, or even already has one, you know, some kind of marijuana business. Although I had to laugh, and this is my point about the acceptance now. To me, I still found a little hypocrisy in it, but this is the mindset. This is where we're going, folks. So, because of his use, he was being interviewed on the radio, and someone said, wow, you know, so you're in the marijuana business. And he said, well, yeah. He said, you know, I've been smoking marijuana, and you have to know how to do it. And he's going through the whole thing. Because now everybody, of course, all the people that have been smoking marijuana, now they are all experts. I mean, these are all people that have no, you know, medical background, but they're speaking as if they are PhDs in marijuana. It's really funny how lay people who have been into the marijuana culture are now being propped up as experts, even though they really don't know anything more. Just they don't know. The only thing they know more is that because they've been using it, but they've got a whole philosophy and they've got a whole rationalization as to why they use it. And so what I loved was Seth Rogen's rationalization. He's probably been using this rationalization when it's been illegal he's been using it for the last 20 years. But now that it's legal, now he's putting that out as a reason for, you know, legalization and recreational use. And what he is saying, and I had to laugh at this, so he was with Charlize Theron, who is in this new movie with him called The Long Shot. And so his rationalization for the use of marijuana recreationally was, hey, look, you know, we've come to a point in our culture where we know that we need certain things to get by. This is what he was saying. We need a coat when it's cold out. We need shoes to protect our feet. And so we all know that we're all damaged and we all need some things to get through our day. And so we have come now as a culture to realize that we need marijuana to get through our day because we're all screwed up and we all need something to help us through our day. Well, to me, that sounded like the rationalization of an addict, right? And I had to laugh because Charlize Theron said, well, that sounds like what every crack addict would say, which she's exactly correct. Hey, I need something to help me through the day. Mother's little helper, right? You know, that was 50 years ago when Mick Jagger wrote about that and people taking pep pills and speed and amphetamines. We have been self-medicating in this country for centuries. Now I guess we're finally just coming we're taking out the hypocrisy of it. But we've been self-medicating in this country, whether it is legally through alcohol. What do you say? Oh, people, I need a cigarette to calm down. What does that mean, right? That's rationalizing why you need a cigarette, even though I think they've done the studies that nicotine is actually a stimulant. But in people's minds, it helps them relax. Alcohol, the same thing. It's a stimulant. People have said, oh, I need a nice drink to calm my nerves, but alcohol is a stimulant. So we've been hypocrites on this for a long time. So maybe it's good that we're finally lifting the veil on our hypocrisy. But I did have to laugh because, you know, in Seth Rogen's little pot world, they've had this conversation. They've been probably high on drugs and on pot, and so it made sense to them. But when it's put out into a world of people that are not on drugs, it still sounds a little shady in terms of its rationalization. Hey, we need coats and shoes and marijuana to get through our day. Well, I don't know about that. But that's my point, is that is how the entire society has moved. And now that it's not taboo to talk about marijuana, now that it is not illegal, now that it is not an underground culture, you're going to hear this kind of stuff. And it will be, as it everything else is, it will be up to each one of us to decide. I'll be honest with you. If marijuana is legalized, I don't think it's going to change my lifestyle one bit. But just like we have accepted gambling, just like we had to repeal prohibition, look, we are a flawed species. The human species is a flawed species. It's a species that gives in to temptation, that is not good at self-regulation. We've known people have been smoking marijuana for decades. We've been putting them in jail. We've created drug empires, for illegal drug empires that are in the billions, because we've made it illegal. So what have we in the last 50 years, what have we accomplished? Nothing. We've made drug cartels and drug kingpins illegal. We've created illegal empires. We have incarcerated people as some kind of a punishment or example, which has not worked. And we have lost, we've made our own citizens subject to potentially very harmful drugs without the regulation. And we've lost out on the chance to tax it and make some money for our own government in a legal way. Here are some statistics that may blow your mind. $44 billion is the estimated total of illicit drugs. Marijuana, just marijuana, $44 billion in 2018. $44 billion. They've made $8.5 billion in 2018 with the sale of legal drugs, because it's still illegal in many states. $8.5 billion. I mean, my gosh. 34 million U.S. adults use marijuana. 34 million. It's about 10%. Of our population. We have about 350 million. 34 million. That's a pretty big chunk. Colorado, which, as I said earlier, was the testing ground. For January and February of this year, January and February of 2019, this year, Colorado has brought in $43 million in tax revenue. $43 million in 2 months. Folks, there comes a point where we have to realize and be honest and let reality seep in. The war on drugs has been a horrendous failure because of one reason: demand. If there's a demand, some people will find a way to supply it. And up to this point, we've allowed illegal drug cartels to do that. And we've allowed them to put inferior and sometimes dangerous or lethal products out there for people to use. Let's be sensible. Let's be rational. Let's deal with reality. And that's what's happening here. But I think when you look at what's going on, it's really an amazing kind of cultural shift. I said this about 10 years ago, and it's coming to fruition. We are in a very tumultuous, turbulent time here. Big, big change going on. We've seen it already in behavior with technology, and I've joked about it with the smartphone. But that has been an amazing shift in how we live our daily lives. And the introduction and the legalization of marijuana will be another one of those as well. Politically, things are in turmoil. We are in a state of huge transition and churn and change, and it is not easy, and it is not clean, and it will not happen in 2 minutes. But I'll tell you, the acceptance of marijuana in terms of the use and the popularity and the jargon and the marketing, it's been, I think, like unlike any product that is going to be coming out on the market or has been on the market, because there has been a market. We just, the majority of people in the United States, it's not been a mainstream market, but it will be soon. And if you remember one thing from this, it's, so it's again, the three letters, CBD. I guarantee you, when you go to any kind of store, grocery store, department store, drugstore, you will see huge displays for products now with CBD in them, which is supposedly going to be, you know, these medicinal or uses for marijuana related products. So yes, this country is going to pot, folks, but maybe that's not bad. So all I can say is, you know, if you are of the ilk that wants to jump on the marijuana bandwagon, more power to you. Just do it responsibly. But these are high times, and let me just, this is a phrase that may, it was popular in the 60s, and it may come back again. So if you're out with some people at a party, don't forget, don't Bogart that joint. So, hey, man, that ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, man, right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday or whenever we can get around to it, there'll be a new episode for your podcasting pleasure. Get it? Podcasting. Hey, this is Elton Jim. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun, man. This is Captain Pot-tastic. It's the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen, man. Cheech and Chong forever, man.